and just to be part of your service and to worship with you. Just a great blessing for that to have, that opportunity to have. And to just see you and be you and be among you as the people of God. It's a good thing to do. This was Frank's idea, by the way.
Don't
blame me. It was Frank's idea, and I actually kicked and screamed a little bit, but we finally made it happen, and so we're here, and I'm glad I'm here. It's good to be here, but it's just change. Do we all like change? Yeah, we better get used to it. It's here. I want to read Matthew 28, and I want to read from verse 16 to 20. A very popular It needs to be, I think, needs to be a very popular verse for every one of us, or verses for every one of us in life when we understand who we are and what we are doing in this world. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Good passage for us in discipleship. And I want to spend a little, I'm not going to open that passage up. I'm going to do something hopefully supportive of Frank, but even more than that, just helping us to understand into a deeper depth what God is saying to each of us in this world and in what we do. So over the past 2 weeks, Frank has taught you five truths about Jesus. He sent me his message. I'm just letting you know that. And he's actually doing those two messages today at Cedar Valley. So good luck to them. They'll get it condensed. They're important truth about Jesus' love, about his emotion, about his ministry, about his forgiveness, and his desire for our response. And all of you who paid close attention have them memorized, and you're all doing everything that he was telling you already. Every preacher knows that that's exactly what you do when you get up and walk out of the pew on Sunday morning. Sort of. Now I'm going to resist the urge to repeat his message. I'm not just going to preach what he had, what he's already said to you, but I do want to take from Matthew 28 here, I do want to take the opportunity to unpack these from the perspective of discipleship. Jesus says, make disciples. Disciples who make disciples. We have bowed down in the presence of our Lord and declared that we are his disciples. That's who we are, right? That's what we have said we want to be. So let's unpack that in light of the important truths that we agree to be true. These things that Pastor Frank has taught you over the past 2 weeks, let's unpack these from the light of discipleship. So let's find some ways of looking at this, hopefully that help us to live them. First of all, a few weeks back, Pastor Frank told you that Jesus loves, and he used the verse out of Mark 10:21, when the rich young man came to Jesus and asked, what does it take to inherit eternal life? What does it take? It said, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loves. You remember that when Jesus responded to this man, the sentence indicated that Jesus took a good, long, studied look at him for a few moments and may actually have hugged him or embraced him somehow. Maybe did the man hug thing. But he just had this deep compassion for him. Jesus had the agape reaction to this man on his life search, this I love you unconditionally, this depth of love. And his reaction to the man is a reaction of that deep committed love that went far beyond what a good man would do, not just what a good person would do. He responded as a great man. He loved him deeply. Disciple of Jesus, learn how to respond in a similar fashion. Now, we're not Jesus. We don't have that great step back. We've been given a greater understanding of love and a greater ability to love because we've been created with this new being. But we're learning how to love in the same fashion. A while back, a phone call alerted our congregation that a single mother was moving to town with two children. One was a toddler, one's a little bit older, 8 or 9 years old. She was fleeing an abusive relationship. She had a temporary place to stay, but the Christian support back home was very concerned for her, and our congregation happened to be just chosen by geographics. She's just down the street from where you live. Would you be able to help? Now, if that came into this church, you'd probably respond the same way. Of course we would. Of course you would help. Do what you can. And then the story began. Then things began to unfold. A story of a woman who had been homeless for many years, and then just under 10 years ago, all the life choices of being homelessness ingrained in her, all the ways of dealing with life and all her coping mechanisms and everything that she had to live in life as a homeless person came crashing in because of her children that were being, the oldest being born to her, with very significant health issues, life health issues. And yet she was still a homeless person who needed to have a home. And she needs to live like a homeless person in a building. And she needs to cope like a homeless person in a building with children. And she needs to cope with people around her with the same lack of trust that a homeless person often has. And she needs to cope with all these things that she had learned in life that weren't good. And now we were entrusted with relationship with her. And it was difficult. It was up and down. Everything in her triggered a flight mode. Everything triggered her hoard mode. I gotta, and to gather. And everything triggered a lack of trust in everybody around her. And we needed to look at her and love her. There really has been nothing that we can do to make things work, except one woman in our congregation, and I have to be complimentary toward this one lady. She refused to stop loving her. She refused to stop looking at her and loving her. She sees the garbage gathered around her. She sees the fear that lives in her. She sees the unpredictable in her, and she's just said, it doesn't matter. She gets stern, she tries to stop things, she questions, she does all sorts of things, she gets frustrated, but in the end, she simply loves her. This is who she is. And if she is allowed to keep loving her, the relationship will continue. If the single mom will allow this depth of love to enter into her life, she will continue to be loved. Jesus does not stop loving. When Jesus looked at this man, when he walked away, Jesus didn't stop loving. The disciples of Jesus don't stop loving just because it's messy, just because it's hard, just because it didn't go the way you wanted, just because it wasn't oozy, gushy, great emotion. The disciples of Jesus keep loving. It's God's job to heal people, right? It's God's job to take this unredeemed, broken person and love them and heal them. It's His work to make us whole. I couldn't do a thing to make you whole. There's nothing I can do to make you be a whole person. That's God's job. It's God's job to empower and to completely restore us, right? That's what He does. It's our job, my job, your job, to uncover the great work of God that's happening in us and around us. It's the job of the community of disciples to help each other to do that. Our job is to look at them and see how God has loved them and to be part of that emotion of love of God, more than emotion, the work of love of God in these people's lives. Jesus loved him. And we're the ones that walk into life and say, how am I going to do that? Is that ever tiring? Is that ever draining? Is that ever wear you out, wear you down and empty you? And it's at that point when you're worn down and empty that God steps in and says, this is where I'm loving through you. And we're finding who you are in the way that you love the people around you. Frank also mentioned that Jesus wept. John 11:35, that great memory verse of every child who has to memorize a verse quickly before some program. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Thank you, whoever put those verse numbers in place. You helped me out of so many hard times when I was a kid. Jesus wept. You remember that Jesus felt emotion with us. He feels pain. He feels suffering. He feels joy and laughter. And let's not forget that God loves to laugh with us. Sometimes at us, but often with us. He feels the turmoil. He feels our apathy. He feels the emotion of life with us. And he has an unending capacity to do so. We don't. He has an unending capacity to do all this emotion with us. It's amazing. It's just amazing to think of God's ability to have unending capacity with each one of us every day, all day, around this globe, just without stop, far beyond what we could even imagine. Now, the disciples of Jesus can't feel each other's emotions in the same way that Jesus feels ours. Yet we are given capacity to enter into these emotions. And we have to recognize that if we are disciples, we have been given a capacity. We've been created new, right? We all agree. The Bible says we've been created new by the power of Jesus. And in that creation, we've been given capacity. Capacity far beyond what we would have if we did not know Jesus. We've been given capacity. To enter into each other's emotional journey is more difficult for some than for others. Do you know some people that just don't have emotions? They don't know how to connect with somebody else's emotions? But it's not impossible for anyone. And if you're one of those believers who thinks it's impossible for you, it isn't. You know, I have a guilty pleasure. I like watching. And I liked watching it before it was even, I even knew other people liked it. I like watching Big Bang Theory. Any of you like watching Big Bang? Right? Bazinga. Yeah. Something about Sheldon just makes me realize there's hope for people in the church. It's such a godless show, and with such a spoof on Christians with Sheldon's zealous Texas mother. Like, she was, she's such a, like, I, she's, oh, I'm going off script. Sorry, Lulu. I'm going off script. The Pope, I just heard this morning, and I said it. The Pope has, and the Vatican has released a paper that says fundamentalist evangelical Christians in North America probably aren't even Christians. Now, let's play with that one. Have fun with it. Let's face what that means. In terms of what they're saying. But that's what that this show brought out in people. Now, you know, I watch it with a little less guilt because other people like it. And I've actually sat in a room and people laugh audibly with me and think, yes, I'm not crazy. But Sheldon is like a lot of people, completely unwilling to understand other people at first. But when he realizes he actually can enter into their lives, he is surprisingly caring and supportive. If you've never watched Big Bang, you have no idea what it's about, what I've just said. if you've ever watched it, you realize they've done a great job in building this character and understanding who he is. Some disciples, in understanding that they are created new, will take longer in weeping with those who weep, but we all can. A friend of mine from out of the Yarrow Church, he was a man who's been married twice. He had two complete separate families, one about 20 years older than the other. In his first life, he was just a hard man. He was a prison guard. He was a two-fisted drinking, hard brawling, womanizing, just a really tough nut to crack. And Jesus got a hold of him and changed him. And then he became this Christian who was very hard-nosed and hard to get along with, and people had a tough time with. And you wondered about him. And he met me at the back of the church one day, and he said, "Dan, I get that God loves people, but I just don't like them." And Bob had a great wife. She stuck with him in this second marriage. She just stuck with him, and she loved him. They moved away from Yarrow. He told me that he was moving to a place where he could get away and never have to deal with people again. He just didn't like to be around people. So he's in a little community called Kitchener. Not Ontario. Kitchener, B.C. If you don't know where Kitchener, B.C. is, Bob likes you, because you don't know where Kitchener is. It's about, I think it's about 20 mobile, not even, maybe a dozen mobile homes. Yeah, and funny side of it was, and again, sorry, Lulu, I'm leading you all over the place here. The funny thing about Bob is that he was there less than a year and he became the mayor of Kitchener. Oh my gosh. Which meant he was in charge of the waterworks. That's all it was. It's just he was mad at the guy who was running the waterworks, so he got elected to be in charge and he got it in orders. He just couldn't stand people. Bob has phoned me in the last little while, and we're messaging each other back and forth. It's taken 20 years, 30 years. Bob likes people. He's starting to care. He's starting to love. Disciples of Jesus have a capacity to care and feel emotion with others. Significant questions that disciples need to ask in our lives is, what brings joy to God's heart? Why would I not pursue that? Look around you in your world. Where is God finding joy in this world? Why are we not building that? What causes God to weep? Where does he feel pain? Don't do that. Stay away from it. We answer these best through a deep understanding of the Word, of how he's revealed himself in his Word. We understand that best. Let's be careful, folks. We don't understand God through the emotion of this world. We don't understand God, just understand God through the emotion of this world, or just through experience, or just through the stuff that comes in our, the circumstances that come in our life. We understand him best through his Word. This is what he has done in order to help us understand him. He's given us this. Understand this, to understand the emotion of God. If we try to start answering the questions from anywhere else, we miss the revelation of God's heart for this world. This is where it starts. The others come in to help, but this is where it starts. Use this to understand God's emotion in this world. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 was where Pastor Frank taught us about Jesus carries our burdens. And actually, I want to change the word there a little bit and say Jesus changes our burden. Jesus said to them, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So it's not that we don't have a burden. I need one of these. Thank you. We had a burden to bear that we could not bear. It was too big. We were squished. We were worn down. We were flattened in this world, hardly able to move. And Jesus gives us rest from that burden. You know, the burdens of this world are many. There's lots of burdens. There's lots of things that you carry, depending on which view of life we have chosen to take, which view of life we want to have. Maybe we have a financial burden. I need to get ahead. Oh, will I have enough for the future? You know, I turned 60 this last year, and now I got to start thinking, oh, maybe I should have planned for retirement. I don't know. Where does that come from? Maybe I should worry about that now. Maybe I should be afraid because, you know, we're living longer. Right now, my mother-in-law is in the hospital again today, but she's 93, going to be 94 next month. 30 years. If I retired now, could I live 30 years? Wow. Maybe I'll be the homeless one that you guys will be having to love. Financial burden. Power and control burdens. My work, can I keep things under control at work? Are they going to fire me? Can I keep my family under control? The people around me, can I keep everything under control and keep people doing what I need them to do? Maybe the search for pleasure burden. I need, I want, I must have all these things that come in. Oh, I need to have all these great experiences in life. No, these are amazing burdens we take on that God tells us, that's not yours. Why are you carrying it? Like, you think I can't handle that? Yet we live under these burdens. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. Jesus tells us that his disciples carry his burden. This is the one we're designed for. We were created for this burden. This is what the garden was put on our shoulders in the garden before the fall. This burden of God, we're created to carry it. The burden of his creation, to care for what he has created. What he has created in the world and what he's created in us. Just care. Carry this burden. Carry this. Carry this new creation of who you are in Christ. Carry this into the world. That's a different burden. Come into the world and say, hey, I have grace. I have mercy. I have life. Bring that burden into the world and see who puts down their burden, because what you want to give them from Jesus is so much more appealing, so much more fresh. Our burden is to be the disciple who willingly listens to God's burden for this world. A burden of being disciple-making disciples. To shed the world's burdens that Jesus has already taken away. The sin that so easily entangled us, Paul's called it. And carry his burden. Disciples who reveal that God has recreated us through Jesus, we are free. Are you free? You're free. People, breathe that. We're free. Disciples who search for the freedom God created in us by Jesus. And then take that freedom and be what Paul says. Don't let your freedom be something that enslaves you again in this world. Don't use it to run away from God. Take your freedom and fall into the hands of God and enjoy the grace that God brings us. Pastor Frank also said, Jesus forgives. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Father, forgive them. The stories of Jesus reveal that he continually forgave. Just continually forgave. If a person was willing to search for it, Jesus was willing to help them find it. You want forgiveness? Here it is. The heart of those who understood they needed forgiveness, the actions of those who acted blindly as they lived by their own rules. These people, Jesus, when they came to him and said, can I have some freedom? Can I find forgiveness? He forgave. The ones who didn't want forgiveness that came to try to control him, He just said, keep it. It's yours. I want to give you freedom. Jesus could forgive sin with the power to change our eternity. He is the source of God's forgiveness for us, the source of finding this complete depth of freedom, this complete depth of God moving in this world. Amen. Isn't that great? Just absolutely free in the forgiveness of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus live the forgiveness in this world. Presenting the gospel of forgiveness is my job, is your job, the disciples' job. Present the gospel of forgiveness. What does forgiving one another look like? Where does it show up? It's not simply pretending action did not happen. It's not simply saying, well, that's okay. It's fine, it's okay. Forgiveness is greater depth than that. It's living in a way that reduces the harm from a past action is our goal. I don't want you to keep being a person who harms other people because you just don't know better, or you're scared, or you've found this tool. This is how you've learned how to cope. And you're using a hammer like a screwdriver and a screwdriver like a butter knife, and it's just wrong, right? Forgiveness is stepping into somebody's life and helping them be a better person. It's the action that builds wholeness in our lives in the clearest possible form. How can I forgive in a way that makes you a better person? Forgiveness is not connected to revenge nor to apathy. Forgiveness has an action with it. The disciple of Jesus lives in a world of forgiveness. That's where we live. What does that look like? What does that feel like? How does that help somebody breathe better because we've forgiven? Who did you need to forgive this week? Who needed to forgive you? Which relationships are you working in where freedom is not the underlying base for the relationship? Forgiveness is in that freedom to live in each other's lives in a way that builds wholeness and cares and loves. You know what? That just heaps a lot of guilt on a lot of us because we are so connected to so many people, and everybody has, you know, we're not a nice, cool huddle of cute-looking little teddy bears. We're a gathering of porcupines and skunks, right? We just hurt each other all over the place. I would like to think we're soft and cuddly and we can help each other, but we poke each other in the eyes and we kick each other and we just make this stink in each other's presence and we offend each other, and it's just harsh all the time. But what we are doing as disciples of Jesus, we're ripping off these layers that hurt each other. We're ripping them out. Why? Because they're just stuff we're hanging on to. My wife and I are, and again, sorry Lulu, I'm doing this to you again. She says it's okay. I get the thumbs up, so that's good. My wife and I are thinking of downsizing. You know, I turned 60. I'm getting old. Older. Older. Is that the word? Thinking of downsizing. We're going to get out of a house, maybe into a condo or something smaller or whatever, and get rid of the mortgage and all that stuff and just start looking at life in a different way. I'm looking forward to getting rid of the junk. But boy, is it a lot of work to get rid of junk. I just want to put a big bin on the driveway and carry it out and take about 3 days and the house would be empty and somebody could haul it all away and I could sit in a completely empty house. I would be happy. Sleep on the floor. I don't even need a pillow. Just leave me alone. But it doesn't work that way. And it doesn't just happen in our lives. This is part of God's amazing plan and choice for us. That he's redeemed us and said, now go find it. What does it look like? You are changed. Go find it. Go find that pearl of great price. Go find that gem of great value. Go find it. Take the rest, peel it off, and find what I've made in you. Do that with each other. We have an amazing Lord and Savior, absolutely amazing God. He's created us to be amazing as well. We are amazing. And we are most amazing when we reveal His amazing work in us in a way that reveals Him in this world. That's what we're doing. These refreshing truths about Jesus are just that. They give us life when we just realize, oh man, is God doing amazing things. You're amazing. We're amazing. We're disciples. We're students of the God of this universe. Not the God of this world. The God of this universe. And we're following Him. We're loving Him. We're learning from Him. And we're revealing Him in this world. Oh, enjoy that. Enjoy that up in Stikeen. Get that right. Enjoy that. Enjoy being up there with the people that just, they just want to be loved. And they enjoy that out on the streets of Surrey. Enjoy that where you work. Enjoy that with that person that really, really annoys you at work, right? Or the one that's always so bubbly, happy all the time. Oh, and it gets you just annoyed because they're always happy. Enjoy revealing the glory of the joy of Jesus. Just be that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have such amazing gift in Jesus. It just feels so fresh. And the burden just drops from our shoulders as we bow in the presence of Jesus. And we take that yoke, that burden, and we live it with such a joy, such a refreshing in our spirits. Thank you for your love that's revealed in us and through us. Thank you for your love that's expressed in this room as we just enjoy being your people together. Thank you for the great gift you give us in the grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your Spirit who draws us into the world to reveal you as we go. Help us, Father. We want to be disciples who make disciples. We find that hard sometimes. But Lord, it's not because it's hard. It's because it's right. And we continue in it. We thank you for this. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.